Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope.
How contentious that bet was would have paid you with crumpled up dollar bills. I would have crumbled them all up individually and like left them in your spot.
Okay, I'm going to give you the $50 out here for the golf bet.
Oh my God.
Hold this.
I forgot all about it. The $50.
Yeah.
Great. What are you doing?
Taking off my shoe. I got money in the shoe.
What?
And the bulldog.
Used to do that with stuff at the pizza place. Like, we used to just, in front of the guy, like, pull the 20 out of your wallet, put it under your shirt and rub your underarm with it, and then give it to him.
There you go. Take the $50.
No, I don't want
Take the $50.
I'd really rather not. I don't want that $50 from your sweaty,
disgusting
sock and sneaker.
This is the payoff.
I don't want that $50. Give me a clean $50.
This is the $50.
I'm not touching that $50.
Take
I don't want
the
it.
$50.
That's no.
Right. They're not paying you.
What?
I'm not paying you.
This you is owe me $50. What
this
are you?
This is $50.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
That's the one before that scene. LD. He's like, Funkhauser is not paying me that money. His mom died in that episode. And they had the memorial, and Larry takes the flowers. That's from that one. And he surprises him by giving him the money. And now I just think this... Bulldog, I mean, this is bad now. Because I just thought of this with Jeremy...
Oh, yeah.
Because of that. And now I feel like I should never have even thought of that show. Just another incredibly awful circumstance in Jeremy's life. His mother was killed yesterday in a car accident. And we love Jeremy, and he's been through so much. We just, his friends here, he's got a lot of them. He's got a lot of friends who... want to be there for him, and I just can't imagine the heartbreak of the last month's year for him. Just incredible.
Yeah, really. It's been a terrible time. Obviously, I'm gonna go. We're gonna go see them tonight, my wife and I. So I'm hopeful he's hanging in there. I'm sure he's hanging in there. It's just it's tough to process all of it. You know, I exchanged a brief. Word with him this morning, and it's just like he's kind of in shock and disbelief, and obviously wanted a lot better for his mom. So really tough, really tough.
Okay. Anyway,
here we are.
Friday night. Happy Friday. Happy weekend, everybody. The Pro Bowl, the skills competition. Niagara basketball. There's some stuff. We'll have the Super Bowl next week. And just terrible. Jeff is on the line. Jeff, you mind going next?
Sure.
Go ahead, buddy.
Thank you, bud.
Hey, no problem, guys. Hey, happy Friday back at you.
Thanks.
It's a wet one out there. I'm a longtime listener. It's hard to follow up. I just have the news you just shared.
Yeah, sorry.
I know we're sort of in a spot, I guess. So we're kind of counting on you to help us dig out a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey. I've been following the Sabres my entire life. I'll be 60 in March. I remember going to the very first season of the Sabres with my brothers and just going through the ups and downs. It just seems like those first 40 years there were very few low points, even though they did win the Cup. They were always a strong competitor. Everybody knew when they were playing the Sabres that they were going to have to fight for every point. And it just seems like ever since the Regis brothers debacle and when the bottom fell out when we under Gallagher, of course, he saved the team, but we lost Drury. And, of course, that's all water under the bridge. We've never been able to just build that foundation again and get us back to the promised land, or at least to a successful program and franchise, which we were known for the first 40 years.
Right.
and a season ticket holder a couple different times. I'm just as aggravated as a lot of the fans. 2 years in a row, they come out of the house on fire, and then they just a couple of the wheels come off, and they just don't have a lot of depth. And one thing that bothers me, and several of my friends who, well, we play hockey and lots of sports growing up. My dad was a phys ed teacher. He coached football. My dad played for UV on the GI Bill after the war. So I've always been around sports. And my brother played hockey in college and even tried out for the 1980 team and just missed making that for the dream team by a few cuts.
That's incredible. You know, our Paul Hamilton did the same thing.
No, I did not know that.
Paul played at Iowa State, and he was one of the last cuts for the 80 Miracle on Ice team.
Wow.
Where did your brother play?
My brother played for back in the day, he was playing for ECC, and then he played for a couple other travel teams. He played up in the Ontario Juniors. And,
okay, all right, great.
And
awesome.
But we, so it was a hockey family, and the thing that I'm frustrated about, and it's not an answer, but it's just a – just a puzzlement or frustration like everybody else. I remember in last season when they had Skinner on that line with Eichel, I know we had a lot of our eggs in one basket, but, this isn't anything you haven't heard before, but, with the lines that we had previous, way back, of course, the Robert, Martin, and Perro, a lot of teams would put their top players, Trache and Bossy and other teams, and they would just kind of build from the top down. And I don't agree with Frank. He seemed just kind of lost all hope. I think there's some pieces that are in place that just need support to keep it up. It's kind of like building a building, I guess. I think Skinner would be much more effective on the line with Perro. Or I should say, I'm sorry. Like,
yeah.
He's phenomenal. I've been to about 10 games this season. We all know that. But he doesn't have the support. And we know that as well. But I think if Skinner was on that line when he gets healthy, there's a few ifs in there. I just think that there would be more potential to move forward. And
yeah,
I'm one of the rare people that likes Ritsalainen, and I still think that he could possibly be one of the pieces that we could use for another year or two as Dahlin gets a little older, more mature. There's some young talent there. Boy, we've been waiting a long time, haven't we?
Yes, we definitely have, Jeff. Well, Skinner will get the first look. I don't know what they're going to do with him, but he should be back. I'm not sure how soon, but relatively soon after this break, if not right after this break. Maybe that's a little too optimistic. But Olofsson is a ways off still, a couple weeks longer, I think, is the timeline, at least last we heard. I that could have changed over the course of this break where, it hasn't really been talked about. But so they could put Skinner back up there to start, and if that goes well, then maybe he'll stay there, and you're gonna have to find someone to help Olofsson go. Is really that's been the Skinner problem this year, and I mean I really believe it's easy to say. I mean the right trade, there's a lot that has to go into it, but the right player playing at center behind Eichel instead of Mittelstadt, instead of Johansson, is the difference for this team. I don't think they'd be a cup, a favorite or anything, like better than Tampa or Boston, but they could, to me, very comfortably be in a playoff spot if they had that player, because I think Skinner would have been producing more before he got hurt. You'd be getting the production from that guy, and I just think everything would be better. It was the thing that needed to happen, and it still has not happened, and so it's still the thing that needs to happen. I'm gonna, and I don't want to be like alarmist about it, but to think I'm gonna wait on Dylan Cousins, I hope Cousins makes this team next year, but I do not want to do the dance we just did with Casey Mittelstadt last season with him, which is, well, I don't know, if he's like the rookie of the year or something, then maybe we'll be good. That is not the way to ease an 18-year-old into the NHL or a 19-year-old into the NHL. And you're going to need a guy there. And if you don't go get one, and I'm done assuming that that's going to happen because I've been thinking it needed to happen for almost a year now. I mean, I wanted a guy that calls us pretty frequently that I've known for years bring up Charlie Coyle. Like, yeah. I mean, I don't think that's a prominent. He's more like Johansson to me. But they needed someone last year at this time in that role, and here we are a year later, and it has not been addressed. So I don't know. I wouldn't put it past them to go into next year with Casey Mittelstadt and Dylan Cousins battling for the second-line center job on this team. Because it's kind of what we've done here for more than a year.
That should not be acceptable.
No, it absolutely should not. It should have happened by now in some form or another. It just should have happened by now. And, you know, here we are.
Thank you, Jeff. Nice of you to call today. Doug is next on WGR. Hi, Doug.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
My question is, so when we acquired Skinner last year, we put him on the first line, and he's playing with Eichel, and he puts up 40 goals in a contract year. My question is, why is he playing on the second line now that we signed him to a $9 million year? We're putting Olofsson, who's also a restricted free or who is a restricted free agent this year, on the Eichel line, and he's probably going to end up with 25 goals this year, and his stats might be hyperinflated. I don't think there's any doubt that Skinner would not score 40 goals if he was playing on the second line last year. He might put up 30 or something. But it seems like we're just kind of bolstering these guys' value when it comes time to contract time, and we're not putting them in the best place to succeed.
Well, there's obviously those are two different things, of course. I don't know if any part of their strategy with who plays with whom has to do with money. Jeff Skinner had proven already the better stats, not just the bubblegum card stats, the real stats on Skinner, proved him to be an elite 5-on-5 scorer. And yeah, you're going to pay him more, I guess. It's still up to him if you put him on that line for the season. But if you don't, if he had this year instead, he would really be worth the same. I mean, he is still the same player. He really is a victim of circumstances with this roster. He has proven what he can do. So if you're talking about how these guys, how they figure out, or if they're what they end up paying Olofsson or what they end up paying Skinner is any part of their strategy, I don't know that it necessarily is. Then you have something there, but there is a totally reasonable argument for not putting him on Eichel's line, and there always has been. And if you look around the league, you see plenty of that. You see plenty of teams' best players broken up like that. The problem is the one thing that we keep coming back to. There's nobody good enough to carry that line, the middle of the forwards on the roster. They're just not good enough overall to do that. So Skinner is locked in. He is not playing for a contract anymore. He is on the team for years to come. That is there. And at some point, his scoring rates will decline because that's inevitable. But that hopefully doesn't happen for a while, and it hasn't happened yet. It's just more the situation. You have to have somebody there that can make him valuable. You want to get what you're paying for out of him. And putting him with Eichel with that thought in mind is just not the right, I think, way of doing this. You want the best overall team. He scored all those goals last year, but that was not a better team than this year. They're not good yet anyway, but right. You still don't have a better result.
Right. I mean, I think it's entirely reasonable to try to establish and to a certain extent cushion the rookie. I mean, Olofsson is a rookie. He's also 24 years old. You know, he's older than Eichel, you know, but he's just getting here now. He played in North America last year for the first time in the AHL, so he's here. So let's get him. I did not want to see him paired up with Johansson and like whatever. And like, what have I got here? It's not working. It's not happening. And I wanted to get him off, and it's worked. It took a while at 5-on-5 for that to develop, but it has eventually. So like, I'm good there. The problem is the middle of that other line is what the problem is.
Pominville could still be playing next to Eichel. He's not even in the league anymore. He could still be playing there and be productive, right? I mean, a lot of guys.
I think so. But I mean, Olofsson to me is he has an elite skill to me in the league. Like, in the top percentile of shooters in the league is what Victor Olsen is. You didn't really know who he was if you weren't really paying attention until this year when he got here. But he came here to me with equipped with something that belongs in the top percentile of the league. He is elite at that. So let's make that happen. And I thought it would work, and it has. So, good. You know, his other wing, that's right. I mean, I don't know. You know, there's a point maybe to be made here about what Reinhardt is doing there. You know, because the GM told us almost a year ago now that he believed, while Phil Housley was the coach, that Reinhardt could drive a line. So, you know, at some point, maybe try that. Try him with Skinner and someone else, and Olofsson with Eichel and, I mean, I don't know. You start running out of road pretty fast.
This is totally what I would do.
If you're trying to put somebody there. But, you know, just get somebody over there. You know, whether that's VZ or that's Sherry, I don't know. And do that. Because I think Eichel and Olofsson are going to carry somebody well enough. That you're, and this is not to understate what Reinhardt's value is on that line. I mean, he makes a lot of plays that I don't think really pop in the way that Jack pops, because, you know, Jack is just, he's explosive and it's spectacular. Reinhardt is, to me, it's I don't want to make the comparison, but it's sneaky good is what Reinhardt is to me. And so, get, you know, let's try that. You know, when Skinner comes back, even let's try that. I, you know, it's just an idea. I mean, they have their reasons for doing what they're doing, but that makes sense to me.
This should have been the plan,
yeah.
I think, this year to do that. But I don't know, they, for some reason, don't want to do that with Reinhardt. And then I'm thinking about the caller's point, which is, do we care about the fact that these guys are setting up for contracts, you know? I don't know.
Well, Olofsson's an RFA. I'm not worried about that. I mean, I'm not. He, you know. He could have gone healthy all year and gotten to 30 goals, and I think as an RFA, there's going to be a throttle on that, you know, unless you were prepared to make a lifetime, a big long 8-year deal to him or something, which I just don't think it's time for. Everyone, I think, would agree. We don't know what your ceiling is yet. We're not even sure this is your floor. This might just be a year, you know. So that's how it works. You know, I would predict a 1 or 2 year deal for him as an RFA. In part now because he got hurt, but I might have thought the same thing before he got hurt.
Reinhardt, though.
Reinhardt's going to have to be that's the big one now. That's going to have to happen. And any idea of him not having value to me is nuts. This team is starving for top six forwards that produce points and carry play, and he does both for you. I think he can do it without Jack, but they have barely given that a chance.
Right.
So I can't say with authority that he can. I just think he could, and it sounded like the GM thought he could, which is weird that it's never really given a chance to bloom. But you can't use him as a chip given what you're already seeking, because if you're going to use him to get something else, then I need him back or some facsimile of him. You cannot trade a producing forward off of this team right now. I mean, you should not go near that. It's got to be the blue line, and I think it's good. You know, it's good that Ristolainen's play has stabilized. He still is like O'Reilly was 2 years ago. What am I going to do? If I'm going to do something significant, what am I going to do? And like, that's not the best starting point to make a trade, but there isn't anyone else that really measures up. And if he is elevating his value to teams that are paying attention to the smarter stuff that you reference all the time, good. Because that still is the piece that needs to change in order to get what I need up front. There is enough coming on the back end of this team. There's already enough here on the back end of this team. You have too much, almost.
Yeah, let me know if something happens. I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to hear about one of these moves.
Okay,
I'm ready.
I will let you know.
I'm ready.
I'll buzz you.
I've been ready for a while. All right, thank you, Doug. 803-0550 is our number. We'll do some more Super Bowl trivia here. I got some good ones for these guys. Here they are, by the way.
Wow.
That was it.
So formal.
Yep, now I can't read it, unfortunately. All right, this is Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tonight, the NHL All-Star Skills Competition, 8 o'clock. Part of it is 8 NHL All-Stars and 2 women's players taking 7 shots at targets on the ice from 30 feet above the ice, like in the crowd.
Seems like a practical hockey skill.
Yeah, like Pierre Maguire said that, I'm thinking, like, wouldn't guys have just gone up into the, what am I thinking of here? Like,
basketball guys maybe do,
go
like
up in the crowd and take a bucket of pucks.
Yeah.
See if you can score from, they let you do
I
that.
I should ask my kids,
ask them both.
Leo, there's no way he's watching any kind of hockey trick shot videos, but maybe that stuff's out there on YouTube. I don't know. I mean, it has to come from somewhere. So I would think the league got the idea that this would be popular because of something that had happened.
Seems interesting.
Yeah.
Crosby and Malkin maybe had been doing this or something. It's also the fastest skater is another one of the skills competitions. Jack Eichel is in that. Connor McDavid has won it 3 years in a row. And a women's 3-on-3 game between USA and Canada all tonight. The All-Star game itself is tomorrow night.
NFL notes, Browns running back Kareem Hunt was cited for speeding in Ohio this week. Had a small amount of marijuana found in the vehicle. Browns said about an hour or so ago that they're aware of the situation. Hunt missed the first part, was it the first half of this season even?
Yeah.
Due to a suspension for violating the league's conduct policies. Viking assistant GM George Payton has pulled his name out of the running to be the Browns GM. And Antonio Brown was released on bond. He's charged with burglary, battery. Did you see the video of him leaving the courthouse?
Yes.
He's supposed to get psychiatric evaluation, and I am not being flippant and funny at all, but I really think that that's important. I just don't. Something's not good there. I don't think it's just eccentric and a show. It's messed up. White Sox pitcher, former Astros pitcher Dallas Keuchel today, when asked about sign stealing, quote, "It's not like every game we had it going on," end quote. So there's that. That's nice. Thanks
right,
for that.
The road games.
right.
For instance.
Whew. All right. Next update in about half an hour.
I think it's still pretty early right now, but you know, those conversations will happen in time, and I've got enough to focus on, you know, with getting ready for this next season. But you know, certainly love Minnesota and would love to be there for a long time.
Kirk Cousins.
I went by fast. He's going into the final year of his contract already with them. It was a 3-year, $90 million contract or something like that.
Okay.
Boom.
Fully guaranteed.
Yep.
Earlier we were talking about the skills competition and the All-Star game, and I said how, like, my entire career, the topic is there if you need it. What's to fix? How do you fix the All-Star game? Any sport, it always was considered better or more important a long time ago, and leagues have tried different things. These skill competitions are still a relatively new entity themselves. And I'm okay with 3-on-3 and how the NHL does it, because I don't really think there's a way, probably, to make it important or anything. So we were talking about that. And I had one more thought to that I didn't bring up. But so skills, right? We've got these we've got these guys together and they're the top players. Let's just showcase what they're best at. Mm-hmm. Seems to make sense. The NFL has its own skills thing as well. And dodgeball yesterday, my kids talk about dodgeball. Like, I don't even know exactly where it stands, whether they're allowed to play
or what. I know there was something afoot a few years back about dodgeball being banned.
Yeah, they're not allowed to play, but they were just at Scouts for the Derby there. They had a gym, and the kids were all playing dodgeball. Like, kids play dodgeball. And I made sure to show them both before the bus came today, the 2 minutes of Jarvis Landry at that dodgeball. And did you watch that?
I did not, and I want to say that I kind of meant to, and I forgot.
It's all right. It's pretty good.
Last night, 9 o'clock. Like, the ads I saw for that program reminded me of, like, the Battle of the Network Stars is what it looked like
to me. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, whatever. If I was going to watch Tony Danza do an obstacle course, I'm certainly not opposed to watching, I don't know, whoever, Tremaine Edmonds do an obstacle course. I mean, fine.
Just to warn you. If you watch the dodgeball, it is the Monday Night Football announcers.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And when Davante Adams steps over the midline, how do you think Tessitore sounds? Davante Adams has been called for stepping over the line! Something like that. At a dodgeball game.
Right.
But anyway, Landry, he's great.
At dodgeball?
So they're trying to get him out. And when there's four guys on the NFC team, they basically all throw the ball at Jarvis Landry to try to get him out. He catches one, then immediately drops it and catches another one. That's a great move. And every time he had the ball, he rolled it back across.
Are we sure he controlled it? Did he make a dodgeball move?
I don't know if he made a dodgeball move, but they gave it to him.
Okay.
So, you know, you throw the ball in dodgeball, somebody catches it, you're out. So he just would roll the ball back to the other side. And watching this with my kids, I'm like, Julius, you ever do that move? He's like, all the time. Right. I always do that move. Roll the ball back to the other side and try to catch it when they throw it to you.
Right.
At you. So Landry ends up being the last guy on AFC. Nick Chubb leaves. And it's down to Landry. And, he just makes these amazing catches and wins.
All right.
Carries the AFC to victory.
Who was left on the NFC side?
I'm trying to think. That's why
it was Davante Adams and Jalen Smith.
Jalen Smith. That's why I hesitated. I was trying to think who that was, and I forgot. Yeah, Davante Adams stepped on the line.
Yeah, right.
So he was disqualified, and then Jalen Smith. That's who it was.
Not that it's for me to decide, really, because, you know, other people should decide what's the best thing you've ever done. But I'm going to think long and hard about, did he make a dodgeball move? As being, like, something that should be held up.
Yeah. All right. Flag it, Joe. Flag it. Flag it. Want a couple questions?
Sure. I want anything. Sure. What do you got? I did so well on the last round.
Who is the only starting quarterback, whose Super Bowl win-loss record is 2-2?
Well, that's Peyton Manning. No. Yeah. He won two. He won one with Denver, won one with Indy, and lost one with Indy, and lost one with Denver.
He's not the answer he was looking for. So I think there's multiple. Right.
No, wait a minute. These aren't the droids you were looking for.
But he is 2-2.
He is 2-2. Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, when we talked about him.
How
earlier.
Did I not know that? I brought him up earlier. Yeah,
right, that's why it was.
You know why?
It almost felt like a trick question.
Because nobody thinks of him playing in four Super Bowls.
No, because it was two different teams.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure now that my answer and Peyton Manning are it. There still might be others.
Okay.
All right, 2-2 for one team.
2-2 for one team. All right.
Yeah, that's right. Manning is 2-2, but it's for two teams. Because I'm on Pro Football Reference, and it's by team. So Colts 1-1, Denver 1-1.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Good
job.
Roethlisberger only lost one to Green Bay.
He lost to Green Bay.
That's it, I think.
Yeah.
So he'd be 2-1.
Yeah,
I'm so mad.
What about Elway won the two at the end? How many did he lose only two at the beginning? Is he 2-2?
No.
Is he 2-3 then?
2-3.
2-3? All right. That was three.
Giants, Washington, San Francisco.
Yeah.
This question was pretty good, decent, before you blasted a hole through it with Manning, and now it's not even a good question.
Okay.
Because, well, you know, like, it's just sort of a question, and now it's just not even good at all.
Might Roger Staubach be an answer
Yes, that's the right answer.
Okay. All right.
2-2
Yeah.
Who are the three teams that have made the Super Bowl and have a 500 record in the Super Bowl?
A 500 record?
Yep.
Okay, not specifically 2-2
The Raiders could be right. Oh, it could be. Anybody could be right.
The Raiders are 3-2
3-2 Stupid. Why'd they win that third one?
Did the Saints ever make a Super Bowl before? No. Okay.
1-0
Baltimore, Indy. I mean, is that one? Is the Colts one?
Colts? 2-2
2-2 Okay. Oh, right. I don't even need to separate them.
Colts.
I was thinking in Indianapolis, but Baltimore has 1-1 on their own, too. The Ravens are 1-1
No. The Ravens have 2 wins. The Dilfer team, John Harbaugh.
Right, okay.
The Broncos wouldn't have enough wins.
In my head, I was like, yeah, they lost to San Francisco. No,
they beat San Francisco.
They beat San Francisco. Sorry.
Do you know San Francisco's Super Bowl record?
What a week.
5-2
5-1
Right, that's their only loss.
Man. That's their only Super Bowl loss.
That must be nice.
They barely lost.
Right.
How about the Bears?
Right, the Bears are 1-1 The Colts are 2-2 And the other team is?
Nope, Seahawks be 1-2
The Rams.
Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, they beat the Vikings. They lost Super Bowl I. And then when did they beat the Vikings?
Four,
okay.
The Rams are 1-3
Oh, yeah. What am I saying with the Rams? The Steelers way back. Vince Ferragamo. Yeah.
Ferragamo.
Yeah.
Warner. 1-1 Goff. And then Goff.
Yeah. Forgot about Ferragamo.
And these questions are all lame, but going with that theme.
All right.
Lame. After this Super Bowl, the Bills with Kelly will be the only team to have made the Super Bowl more than once and have the same quarterback start all of their games, all of their Super Bowls. Every other team, once Kansas City plays and Mahomes plays, so Dawson was their other quarterback, they're the only other team with more than one appearance and the same starting quarterback. So the Bills will be the only team left for that. Of course, all the one-timers have one guy. Got it?
Wouldn't that be Manning?
So
who? Colts?
Yeah.
No, because they were in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 3 and 5.
Oh, right, yeah.
Does this make sense?
Yeah, I want it again. I'm sorry. Not all the back
after
end of the
Mahomes plays, the Bills will be the only team to have made the Super Bowl more than once
and have the
same starting quarterback for their games, for their Super Bowls. Everybody else that's gone more than once has had at least two different starting quarterbacks in a Super Bowl once Kansas City gets there.
Even the Vikings.
Even the Vikings. They've been to the Super Bowl 4 times.
Right.
Joe Capp and then Tarkenton.
Joe Capp. Joe Capp lost to the Chiefs.
Yep.
Okay.
You ever watch that game?
No.
You can.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 4 is on YouTube. And one of the people that spends time posting that stuff, like putting those games up there. This one, I watched it like a month ago, or some of it. It's like, we finally got the Super Bowl IV right. I don't know if there's like a radio call attached to it or something, but Super Bowl IV is the one where like it starts, that they have a hot air balloon that that goes up into the crowd or catches fire or something before the game starts. I had this really strange occurrence that's before not, they started
that's
the game.
That's different than when they had Rocket Man was also at a Super Bowl, I think.
Is that it?
Yeah.
The guy had
like a jetpack on. I feel like
is that Super Bowl IV?
Like Jetpack Man was jetpack a Super Man. Bowl. I could be conflating things. That is like yellow end zone for the Chiefs Super Bowl IV, maybe.
Which they're doing now. They've been having that now.
Looks so good.
I agree. It's the best helmet in the league.
Yeah.
Kansas City.
The 49ers font that they had on the end zones for them too was what was it referred to as? Saloon. The saloon lettering for the 49ers. That looks boss too. Their end zones looked great last weekend.
I read it's the first Super Bowl ever between two teams whose primary color is red.
Okay.
There's been red versus purple and maybe red versus orange. I don't know, but yeah, Niners and Bengals.
Right.
But it's red versus red for the first time. Main color.
Yeah. Broncos and Niners, too. Red, orange.
Yeah, right. Man, I got another week of this, and I got to do better. These questions are lame.
The Titans only made one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not them.
What are you trying to figure out?
There was no question here. It was just a statement. I think,
oh,
the thing
he's
about
the only
the
one?
Yeah, Kelly is the...
I thought there was another team. I've been sitting over here thinking of
yeah,
teams.
No,
okay.
Sorry. Once Mahomes starts. Yeah,
I see.
Before he said it the way he did, I thought Tarkenton would be right, but he's not. So
the Chiefs went twice, and Dawson started both games. So Dawson, but Mahomes plays, so they'll have a second guy. Right? Unless Dawson comes back, that would be a stunner. Wouldn't that be a stunner? The Chiefs switch it up and go to Len Dawson for this game at whatever his age is. You ever meet him?
No.
I had an hour with him once on the air in Rochester. I liked him a lot, Len Dawson.
Yeah, I don't even know if I ever talked to him. I really don't remember talking to him, but I forget.
You were with him, but you refused to talk to him.
I forget a lot of stuff. I really do. It's sad.
Aren't you going to ask me anything?
I remembered something that I wanted to bring up to you, and I've already forgotten it. But
great.
I know, really helpful. Something clicked in, and I went like, wow, I can't remember. We did that. That was awesome. And I forgot. Good talk. Thanks for coming. You're doing a great job today, Bullock.
Joe's trying to – you can't think of anything. Oh, Joe's trying to answer trivia questions that aren't being asked. And I don't know. I'm all over the place, too. I don't know if I can say that about you guys.
Good Lord. I'm sorry, everyone.
It was kind of a weird day. All right. We'll take a break.
That's a good idea.
Tonight, Niagara at Monmouth, 7 o'clock on WGR. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Stay tuned.
Game. Landry. What will he come up with? And they are saying now that was a midline cross. So Devontae Adams is out. It's down to Jalen Smith and Jarvis Landry. Smith, he's out too. What a catch by Landry. And they win it on that.
All right, maybe I overdid it. It was the term midline cross that I was sort of rolling my eyes about. That is a midline cross. I mean, what?
Well, you know, if you're hired to do a job, do a job.
Do it the best you can.
Right. Like they pay him to be that way, so there you go.
Come on, though.
Dodgeball or not, it's what you're going to get.
Come on, though. These hometown announcers with their, or like the Zion clip from yesterday, or even the National, I'm going deaf here. I'm going deaf here from sports, right? Just relax, all right? A lot of us have been here every day for our whole lives watching sports. It's really okay if this game we're watching or listening to is not all that. It's really okay. Just, hey. But, you know.
Joe, did you watch much of Zion? I don't know if I asked
I
you
watched just the whole 17 points in a row.
Did
run,
they?
And
okay.
The game.
Did they ever get around to like analyzing how whatever he's supposed to be doing differently than how he had been doing running, walking, jumping, like all that. Like,
I didn't see that other than Charles Barkley and Shaq making fun of it inside the NBA.
Okay.
I didn't see anything specific.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if there's like video analysis available of him prior to the injury to post the injury.
Learning how to walk. He looked the same from the naked eye as opposed to when he played at Duke, I guess.
Yeah,
so that's so all I can
maybe
really
the
go
changes
on.
Are subtle.
What was the most interesting part to me about that whole sequence was Elvin Gentry, the Pelicans head coach, four times tried to get a timeout called because he wanted to take Zion out because of a minutes restriction. And whether it was Lonzo Ball or whoever else was playing for the Pelicans just kept ignoring it, and they just kept running down the floor and just playing basketball, and Zion kept hitting shots so he couldn't call timeout.
Right.
But he kept getting upset every time they kept running down, even though he kept making the shots.
NBA coaches can't just call timeouts themselves?
They can, but I don't know.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe
I thought they could. College coaches, they just call timeout whenever they want, right? Call it from, guy can't get the ball in bounds, coach yells timeout. Maybe it's different in the, you're Mr. NBA. You watched four games on Christmas.
I did watch four, and I watched some of this game on Wednesday, too. I don't know.
At least the announcers were saying that. And he looked pretty, he didn't look as happy as every other person in the arena. So
Gentry?
Yeah.
Did you know Elvin Gentry was the Pelicans coach?
I did, because I watched them on Christmas Day.
You did? Wasn't he once the Raptors coach?
I'm not here to talk about the past.
Kaz is with us. Hello, Kaz. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, no problem. In that time, I was wanted to first off say, anytime I correct somebody on the proper pronunciation of Kiribati, I think about you.
Yes.
For giving me that.
Was that on the hobby?
It was on the hobby. That's another thing that needs to happen again. In fact, maybe instead of the hobby, it should just be a show dedicated solely to fantasy sports, and you can tie Bulldog up in the corner and make him listen.
And Bulldog's right now thinking, you mean this show isn't already that?
Right. Yeah. Knock it off, Cass. I don't want to hear it.
Well, you know, I hate to bring down the mood, because it did seem relatively jovial after that huge spree of Sabres calls, but, you know, the biggest thing that really irked me about that is I'm living in Arizona now. I have the pleasure of watching the Coyotes, and even they get it right. The Arizona Coyotes get their marketing department right and get the right jerseys that people want. And I'm not a hockey player. I can't speak to the way inner management works, but I can say that I think the fans in Buffalo are being taken for granted. And that's what it really came across to me as. And that's what really kind of sticks me. Because the rest of this, I just see it as hot air. But, man, that one hurt. That hurt.
Well, Arizona, thanks, Kaz. Nice to hear from you again. Is having a nice year. Kind of an interesting division. Pacific Division. Yeah, Vancouver's on top now, and Vegas is good.
They're 57 points tied with Vegas. And from Vegas is fifth, and Vancouver's first, and they have a one-point lead on fifth. And Arizona, Calgary, Edmonton are all four of those teams behind Vancouver. They're 1 point behind Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Arizona, and Vegas.
We have talked about Sabres on and off the ice a lot in the last few days. And when it comes to the arena itself, there really probably does need to be some sort of direction. I don't know if there is one privately. There very well could be. But like you said the other day when we were talking about this, are we just waiting for the football stadium plans to get figured out first? Like the current stadium's on its lease, and are we waiting that out? And do we think we can afford a new one? And if so, where does it go and everything? And is hockey just sort of along for the ride on that or what? But there does seem to be or has seemed to be good questions and a lot of concern about, you know, what the arena is at this stage and whether it needs to be replaced or just what, because I think that has contributed to some of the frustration with the fans is for different reasons, probably the building. 803-0550, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. It is 6 o'clock on a Friday, so be happy. This is WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.